Welcome to Cleveland Moto, a vintage motorcycle podcast by people who wrench and ride. We'll be bringing you Vin Moto chat each week, so sit back, relax, and crack a beer. Or play us over the speakers in your shop while working on your latest project. Cleveland Moto, here's your host, Phil Waters.
Yet another exciting edition of the Cleveland Moto Podcast for all of your vintage motorcycle wants and desires and just all the things that make us all goosebumply and chilly in the middle of the night as we're thinking about the bikes we're going to be riding in the morning.
Especially with the weather we've had.
Yeah, the weather's been just everything you could hope for at a beautiful spring in Cleveland. I've been getting in as much riding as I can with the new shop. You know, we're commuting. The staff is meeting up in Lakewood. We're jumping in the truck and going over. But, you know, every day we're taking bikes to one shop or from another, picking up customer service bikes. Sort of the life of a shop owner in spring is that you got to focus on everybody else's ride.
And now you are a shop's owner.
Yeah, and they're doing, and James and Renee are managing POC, the Pride of Cleveland shop in Lakewood. And they're doing a hell of a job. And, you know, you can tell everybody's taking a serious pride in the fact that, like, okay, well, we're gonna make sure that we prove that we got this. We're not gonna call the boss unless we absolutely have to.
Yep.
And then we're over here in this brand new shop in Mentor saying the same thing. We're like, we're gonna make sure we don't call them unless we absolutely have to, you know. So everybody's got a lot of ego on the line. But it's definitely the time of the year when we had a customer come in who needs to have a service done on a brand new Aprilia RSV Tuono. That's a brand new sport bike.
Yeah. I mean,
so he needs a 600-mile service. I told him, I said, you know, we're really just not, you know, we just got the new computer. I'm not 100% up on it yet. I'm still feeling its bugs out. I said, but, you know, where'd you buy it? And he said, you know, gave the name of the shop where he bought it. And he said, I said, well, why don't you take it back to them? I don't want to snipe any of their work. Take it where you bought it. Support the guys that support you.
Yeah.
Take your bike to them. He said, they told me it's going to be 9 weeks until they can get me in for a basic service.
Come on.
Oh, really? My God. 9 weeks for a basic, for a first service?
How inefficient is your shop?
Well, even so, I mean, this is a basic service. You sold the guy the bike on Monday. You figure by Friday he's got 600 or 1,000 miles in.
Yeah.
Get him in, get him out, get him done, man. Get him out there putting putting money in his gas tank and exhaust out his tailpipe, and let's get him out there on the road so he can buy some more tires.
Right.
That's one of those deals. So it's really something. Anybody who's listening has been knowing that we're really excited. We got Moto Guzzi's coming in. And we started this adventure in getting the Moto Guzzi franchise about 95 days ago, maybe a little longer. And it's been very frustrating dealing with Piaggio. They are the parent company and distributor of Moto Guzzi. And it's just been a long time coming. And meanwhile, you see the Cafe Racer, you see the V7 Classic, you see the Grezzo. You get all excited about these motorcycles, and you know they're on their way. They just can't get here soon enough. And in the past, I'd say 3 weeks. Ooh, that was a good one. Did that bounce off your face?
It hit me in the face.
Holy crap. Is that a Yingling?
It is. It's a Yingling Porter.
Yingling Porter. Well, apparently those bottle caps jump off with a... Look at that. Yeah. The amount of vengeance. That thing launched at about... Yeah, that was like 70 feet per second.
That's some serious force.
That was moving. Yeah, so that's...
But I can now refill my glass, so it was all worth it.
You're all fancy with the glasses and the brown beer.
You know, you get a good brown beer, you want to pour it in a glass. It's like a good wine.
Yeah.
You want it to breathe.
Let it breathe. We're doing the... I'm drinking tonight the Leinenkugel Summer Shandy because I like a little vitamin C in my beer. I like the way it says, an adventurous taste, perfect for summertime fun.
That, to me, is one hell of a lawn mowing beer.
It's a lawnmower beer.
It is. Yeah. It's when you cut the lawn, you get done, you're like...
Summer Shandy.
I deserve a beer. Yeah. And when you drink a Summer Shandy, I know it sounds right now like we're doing an advertisement.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
no. This is what we're drinking. And then we're also sponsored by Dan D, the original cheddar cheese flavored corn twisties with melt away flavor.
Ooh.
This is a cheesy proof for people in Cleveland. Because I think these are only made here, aren't they?
I know they're made...
No, Waterford, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I was going to say they're regional.
They're regional. And they're manufactured by Troyer Farms. their sub a sub product of that.
And I know we have a lot of listeners outside of the country, so right. I'm sorry you can't have Dandy.
I'm sorry, man. It's a cheesy. It's like halfway between the big fat cheesy poofs and a Cheetos.
It is. It's exactly.
It's not as hard as a Cheeto. It's not as puffy as a cheesy poof. It's in between.
Yeah, and you technically really don't have to chew them. You can just put a handful in your mouth and just kind of suck on them for a second, and they will turn into liquid.
They turn into liquid cheese.
Yeah.
They are better, though, when they're a week stale. Because then they impart the chewiness to them. They're less crispy, more chewy. So when they're a week stale is when they're pretty fantastic in my book.
I could care less. They're just tasty.
Still my favorite thing to dump in, like, soup. Like, if you got a soup and you just want to throw some flavor, just dump some of those in the soup. It's a real ghetto way to make the soup.
Well, we just had a serious ADD moment.
That was. Bright shiny object. Mm-hmm. So anyway, back to the Gootsie.
Squirrel!
What was that? Squirrel! back to the Gootsies. So we've gotten, like, I'd say 2 weeks ago, James called me up and said, hey, I just got word that we got 4 Gootsies coming. And the word was that we were getting, like...
You told me 2.
2, okay. So we've heard different stories from everybody. But in the past 2 weeks, I've heard every possible variance in this story. But the most rewarding one, I guess, or the most exciting one, was this morning. James got a delivery of Vespas over at POC. And when he's uncrating the Vespas, I guess the driver, the delivery driver, said, hey, there's 5 Gootsie crates sitting back at my warehouse. They gotta be going somewhere. And there's not too many other Gootsie dealers in the Northern Ohio area.
Proper. Yeah.
So he got me all fired up. And I said, well, you know, we're having hot dogs at my shop tomorrow. I'd love to have some Gootsies there for hot dogs. You know, we're gonna have all, you know, I got some nice bratwursts, I got some knockwursts, I got a couple of cases of beer. It's gonna be a decent day at the shop tomorrow. I'd love to have Gootsies there.
I was planning on coming out until my other job said I had to be there, so.
So I started making the phone calls. And what I found is they had sent us 3 MCOs, 3 titles, for 2 V7 Classics and a Grizzo. Oh. And somewhere in the package, that's went from 5 bikes down to 3. Now, the one that I'm most personally, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that the one that I really want to have is the Grizzo.
I really want to ride the Grizzo.
I'm kind of crazy for. I'm a little irrationally in love with this motorcycle. And
it's got to have sick power. Come on.
I think the way it looks and the way I've already ordered an exhaust for it, and I don't even own the motorcycle yet. Okay, so this is that kind of problem that I'm having.
You just want that so you can one-up Merit with her SV.
That SV is pretty good.
Yeah.
The Grizzo is something I've been wanting. And the first thing was a month ago, it was like, oh, you're not going to get your Grizzo. You're not going to get your V7s. You're not getting anything until the middle of June. So this is for people that buy motorcycles. This is not interesting. But for people who sell motorcycles, Piaggio. No matter what they tell you, it's wrong. So when they tell you anything, don't change your plans based on what they tell you.
Yeah.
Because you'll look foolish. So I made a couple other phone calls to different distributors and logistics companies. And then James called me up and he goes, who do you know? Who likes you at, you know, Mach 1 or whatever logistics company? He said, because all of a sudden I just got word that we got 2 more Gootsies coming. I said, I don't know. We got a guardian angel or somebody. So if you're listening to this and you're the reason that there's 2 more Gootsies coming, because apparently one of them might even be a cafe racer, which we weren't, you know, which we asked for, but I didn't think there was a chance in hell of us getting.
I thought you were getting a couple of those.
Oh, we're getting, I've ordered a bunch of them, but those won't be coming in until June.
Oh, okay.
This is the bonus babies. So we might be having a cafe racer at the shop here real soon. So I did tell James, I said, now when these, you know, because we're going to have a V7 Classic at POC.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, my Grizzo is going to be wherever I am.
read as in under your ass.
Under my ass, yeah. And I already signed up. I told Piaggio, that's my demo bike. It's like highly unlikely to ever get sold. But the...
we'll have way too many miles on it.
Yeah, unsellable. Well, so I think that the there's definitely going to be a V7 Classic over at POC. And I told James it's his job to make sure that we test that bike thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
That means he needs to ride it a lot.
I already threw my hat in the ring as a test rider.
James said he already cleaned a spot in his garage.
Yeah. Yeah, I told him, I was like, if you test rider, whatever, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm here for you.
We need to make sure that the customers understand that this is a good, solid, reliable motorcycle. And you know how we feel about selling things before we believe in them.
Right.
Right? We're not real comfortable with that. So we'll be happy to take your orders while we're testing this motorcycle vigorously. So that's cool. So last night, you remember last week or a couple weeks ago when I was talking about that motorcycle app I had on my phone?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I actually started using it, and it's fun. It's really cool. And the app was from MCN, Motorcycle Consumer News. It's called Ride Logger, and yet another promotion for an item. And last
night... Man, we're hot today.
We are hot. They should be sending us checks.
Yeah, we're making tons of money
tonight. Man, ring the bell. We're selling product. Not our product, but yeah. So last night, I had to go to my niece's birthday party, which is over there in, you know, Kirtland, Chesterland area. So I let the girls take the truck. And they had to do a pickup, just the two of them, which is cool. Penny and Emmy just went and did their own.
Oh, wow.
Their own scooter pickup in the Tundra.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
Uh-huh.
It's kind of sexy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So. Two cute girls, a big white truck.
Yeah, real big white truck.
Excellent.
Really long ramp.
I like it.
Pick the bike up. But I ended
that,
up...
That would give me a long ramp.
Yeah. I ended up having to ride from my brother's place back to the shop, and then ultimately back home. So I needed to pick a bike to do that on. And of all the bikes that we have at the shop, the one that I really hadn't done anything with and hadn't ridden for any kind of time is the Kymco, KYMCO. It's their, I don't know, I guess I'd call it their heavyweight commuter now. It's a 300cc.
Which one is that?
It's called the People 300 GTI.
Wasn't their other 300 the Exciting?
They had the Exciting was a 250 and a 500, still in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And the Downtown, which is to replace the Grand Vista, that's a 300cc. And the Downtown, we got that last year. I was able to do a proper test on it, mm-hmm. Went out, no problem holding 88 miles an hour and change. Very aerodynamic, one of those like, you know.
Yeah.
Fast looking scooters, and it did great. I mean, it lived up to its reputation. It was replacing a scooter called the Grand Vista that was a 250 that would run 83 miles an hour,
which was a very popular bike.
Everybody liked it. Low seat height, fast as hell, tons of under seat storage area, and got really good mileage.
I mean, it's, you know, yeah. The times I come in and work at your shop, mm-hmm. You know, it's I do a lot of service on Grand Vista, yeah. And I don't mean service as in like, oh, something's broken.
They're never broken.
No, it's just like oil change, yeah. Check fluids, you know.
They're always high mileage bikes too. People are riding them.
They ran the tits off of those.
Oh
things.
Yeah, Will Stoner, who was with the AMA and did Will Stoner swap meets, we had his bike in for a tire replacement, and he's ridden this bike down to Florida back. I mean, this is a 250cc scooter that's pulling. Will Stoner's way bigger than I am. I mean, he's easily 6'3". And he's not a little dude. And the fact that he's riding that bike, putting big, big miles on it. So the Grand Vista's out. They discontinued it. They replaced it with the Downtown. And this, once again, if you're not a scooter guy, this all means nothing to you. But if you're watching this company called Kymco that's been out for a long time, since the 50s, they're getting a real firm grasp in the U.S. market, and they're building bikes for Honda. They're building bikes for Suzuki. They're building bikes for BMW.
They've built motors for Honda for years.
Mm-hmm. And now they're really wrapped up with BMW. They're a really good OEM, an original equipment manufacturer, a really good company, and their products are fantastic. I grabbed this People 300 last night. Of course, it's got the top case on it. I've got my leather jacket at the shop. I don't have one of my helmets there. So I grab off the shelf that new Fulmer flamethrower helmet, the one that you can see, you know, it's super hyper reflective.
Yeah.
And they had the one a couple of years ago that was in blaze orange. And the problem with the blaze orange one was, you know, you're riding in the sunshine, right?
Yeah.
Well, when blaze orange fades out, it turns into pink. So you started with the blaze orange, highly reflective helmet, and a year and a half later, you end up with a pink, highly reflective helmet.
Didn't they make like a super yellow one
too? They did make a super yellow one, and this particular one is just normal, well, normal-ish. It's silver kind of thing. It's like silver and black stripes. It's a little too tribal for my taste. I go for less skulls, less death, and less tribal.
Right.
And this has no skulls or death, but it does have the tribal going on.
Boo.
Boo. Yeah. If they would have just done the whole helmet with the monochrome reflective material in something like a ghost white or a silver, I think it would have looked great. So I put those items on, fire the bike up, turn on my MCN trip logger when I leave the gas station. So I fill up with gas. This bike has exactly 1.6 miles on it when I leave my shop. Gosh. It's been ridden around the block 3 times. You know, test rides, whatever.
Yeah.
So I take it out and just put it on the freeway, head westbound, and stab it. And
is there any other way?
Well, it's a great break-in, let me tell you. It'll test a bike.
Yep.
And as I'm running west, I started up, you know, let's try it at 80, see what it does at 80. Let's see what it does at 82. And by the time I cleared Cleveland, I was able to hold 88 plus. I got indicated, you know, 89 miles an hour, 88 to 89 miles per hour.
Well, now that is over the speed limit, Phil.
Considerably.
Oh.
Yeah. Traffic was light. I was not putting anybody else in jeopardy. And the bike was doing great. And even through the turns where there's all the construction and the road is so torn up, where they're building all the new stuff and building the new exits, that is like 6 different types of concrete.
Yeah.
Erratic as hell. And the big bike, you know, the bike's got the big 16-inch wheels on it. It did great. It was totally predictable. Trip logger, though. God bless trip logger. Top speed, 86.2 miles per hour.
Nice.
Nice. I made a distance of 30.8 miles. That was my distance. And really completely thrilled with the way the bike ran. I made 30.8 miles in 29.9 minutes. So that's a nice commute.
Nice.
From one shop to the other shop. It was at 9:40 at night. And then I love it because you can scroll along with a little dot and you can see how fast I was going on what part of the road.
Oh, nice.
That's my favorite thing. You kind of move it along with your thumb and go, oh, and that's where he's going really fast. So you can see which the fastest parts of my commute are. But so I did get to use both a new scooter and the new GPS toy, the new iPhone toy.
How much is that app?
That was like $8, I think.
Really?
That was the one that was $7.99. Yeah, it was the most expensive app I've ever bought.
Damn. I have to pick that up.
Now, it says that it updates to Facebook, which it does do, but what it's updating to the Facebook right now isn't like the cool screen that you see here. It's basically updating an ad for Triplogger.
Yeah.
And that's kind of stupid. I wish they would fix that, because they shouldn't, they don't need to, you know?
Yeah.
They should update to your Facebook, your stat sheet, so that you can, you know, instantly brag. Boom, there you go. 86.2 miles per hour on a, you know, a 300cc motor scooter being commuted bolt upright. Best part of the story, though, that last night was bike night at Quaker Steak and Lube at the Mentor Quaker Steak and Lube.
Oh, gosh.
So because it was after 9 o'clock, you know, 9:30 or 9:40 when I was rolling, they were kind of clearing out and all the Harley guys were leaving the lube headed.
They leave home. That early?
Well, it's 9:40. You know,
yeah.
They go to bed at about 10.
Yeah, that's true.
They're Harley guys. Yeah. It's a corporate event, you know. It's Quaker Steak and Lube.
That's true, yeah.
So it's Walt Disney Biker Night. And, of course, I'm rolling out, and I'm catching them. And here I am, super bright, highly reflective helmet, safety guy. The only thing I didn't have was my Tourmaster 1,000-mile green jacket.
Right.
The safety jacket. Gold, metallic, I mean, and that bike is brick of gold, gold bar, metallic gold, with a top case. I did not have a windshield, and I'm cruising at 85 and up, and just holding it there. And so I'm coming up on these guys on Harleys pretty regularly, you know, and just rolling up on two guys riding side by side, roll up on them, and I'm not trying to smoke them. I'm just going home. But in their mind, who's this fucking asshole on the scooter that just passed us like it was his job to pass us? And hey, Marv, do you want to go chase him down? No, I think we just better let him go.
Yeah. Because
we don't want to be the two guys on Harley seen trying to catch the guy on the scooter. It would not be good if he got away.
No.
That's it. So there was no Mods versus Rockers moment at all as the scooter, you know, went past the Harleys. Not even close.
And you actually might get away on that bike, which is, just makes me laugh that your 300 cc's was passing up 1200.
No, I mean, I'm sure that they could. I mean, but that Sportster I had, that that 1000 cc Sportster I had, I can tell you right away that 92 miles an hour was probably all it had.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't, you know, I couldn't get it to accelerate over 75 unless I went down a gear. I mean, that was, it was not a fast bike by any standards.
Bone stock. I've had my 41-year-old 350 over 92 miles per hour.
That's just the way they were. I mean, they were pretty detuned. They were pretty awful bikes.
Yeah.
Nobody ever said they were fast. You know, those, you can count to 883 as many times as you want. Mm-hmm. It's not going to make it a fast motorcycle if the factory doesn't want it to be a fast motorcycle. So yeah, that's pretty good. So have you made any more progress out here in the garage?
Yeah, quite a bit actually. On the 750 job, I have been working on fork seals, polished up the forks too. You can see them sitting right there.
Oh my God, they're beautiful.
Shining.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
I'm waiting for a rear hoop from John. He said he had a really nice rear wheel that he's willing to give me.
A stock 18-incher?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
In trade for a couple of 350 headers that he needs.
Neat. Well, that's good trade.
So I broke those out just in case he had given you the wheel when you got over here.
Okay. Yeah, he did not.
I saw him at the shop earlier this week, and he said he was going to bring it in and let me know, but he didn't.
What product is that you used on the forks? Because the fork legs look fantastic.
I hit them with a very, very mild... wire wheel.
Oh, you did start with a wire wheel.
Yeah, started with a wire wheel. Well, because I had to get all the crud off.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah. Hey, and my wife has
lovely
entered.
Lovely wife just walked through the studio garage.
Well, thanks for saying lovely.
You are lovely.
You are lovely. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I hit him with a wire wheel and just got all the crud off, just kind of got him down to a dull, matte look.
Yeah.
And then I hit him up with some rouge on a buffing wheel,
right.
And I did not want to buff them to a chrome shine.
Right.
I like, it, as you see, they kind of have a bit of a matte look to them.
It actually looks really proper, because when they do get chrome,
mm-hmm.
and people that do chrome
it's,
them.
It's uptake, upkeep on them. It's just it's stupid. Mm-hmm. So I just hit him up with the red rouge,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and that was just basically to buff out the marks from the wire wheel.
Dustin's setup is pretty good. If you guys are thinking about doing any polishing in your own garage, instead of setting up one bench grinder, he's got two bench grinders set up and a drill press. The bench grinders he's got set up, he's got this, like you said, a soft wire wheel on the larger of the two grinders.
It's the softest wire wheel they had. It won't even mar aluminum.
That's it. And then the is that your red cloth wheel?
That would be the red cloth wheel.
Yeah.
And this is a darker one.
You got the dark gray.
Yeah, it's what I use the dark gray on.
Yeah, the dark gray. It's got a little bit more cut to it.
Yeah, a little bit more cut. I was using that on the hubs.
Yeah.
When I was just kind of getting the crap off the hubs and, you know, of course, I didn't want those, you know, sparkly, shiny.
Yeah. And that's a good, that's a really good setup. To run two grinders gives you the ability to have the soft wire wheel to cut through the heavy stuff and then run through your two different colored rouges.
Right.
To your two different bars. Without having to change it and set up your machines a lot. I mean, because grinders aren't that expensive.
No, they're not at all.
If you're going to go through polishing one bike, it's kind of worth it to have that second grinder set up.
Well, I want to get a couple of those standoffs for them to kind of push everything out.
Yeah.
And that's why I have this, nobody else can see this because we're just audio here, but this I have a pedestal from an old table.
Right.
And I plan on mounting one of the grinders on that with the standoffs.
Right.
Just so I can move it around where I need to and you know, do any of the polishing I need to with it. So I ultimately want to have one grinder just set up with a grinding wheel and the wire brush, and then have two different of the soft wheels on that pedestal with standoffs, and just be able to, you know, get around. That's what I want to do, some real polishing.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I honestly, I've never gotten it down to the chromey shine.
No, but it
aluminum.
Looks really good for preserving the original finish and making it look good.
Yeah.
As opposed to everybody's fork legs, every Japanese fork legs looks worse than that Honda that we're looking at, that Magna that's sitting over there.
Yeah.
You know, they always get that pitted look. They always get that, like, you know, I've got 10,000 dead bug hits and they've all corroded my forks.
Yeah, I just wanted those to look like clean, nice Japanese forks, yeah. Not chrome, not super shiny.
When you did your CB, mm-hmm. your CL, when you did that 350, now you've got EX500 forks in there, right?
Right.
Did those come painted that color or did you set them up that way?
I painted them black.
And is it just normal? Acrylic enamel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I did those with the hammered finish, yeah. Just because I was doing other black parts with it.
I was going to say, from a distance here, and that's the thing when you paint things black, they only look good the day you paint them.
Right.
And black's a very touchy color. And I wanted to comment about you choosing the hammered finish, and that's from a can.
Yeah. Oh, spray can. Just right. Done.
So by going with the hammered finish, the forks look great, and they look more like powder coated.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, if you're going to do powder coating on your forks, you better talk to a professional first. This is not the kind of thing that you're going to try to do yourself, because you're going to have to strip those forks 100% down if you're going to cook them.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I can't remember if those were black when I got them or not.
Yeah, I can't either, but the hammered finish looks good, and it's definitely more satin looking than just the solid black.
Yeah.
It looks good.
It kind of wore down to that satin look.
It picks up a nice gray finish, and it looks better than, you know, we've all seen 1,000 different forks painted.
Yeah.
And they usually look good for about a day.
Yeah, and the amazing thing about those is no nicks in them.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, and they look good a long time later.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a interesting thing if you're thinking about doing some alternative finishing on your forks. Everybody does the same thing. They want to bring their forks back to looking factory.
Mm-hmm.
You go out, you clean them up. You use 80 different products. You know, you're out there with Flitz. You're out there with different stuff trying to crack, because you're trying to go through the factory original clear coating that's on them.
Yeah. I haven't found one thing to get that Honda factory aluminum look on a motor.
Trying
on
a bunch of
nothing.
Different stuff.
I can't find it.
Yeah. We'd like to have your tips and tricks for the people that do have it.
Yeah. My God. If you have that, like the Honda factory aluminum motor look.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, there was
tell
a
me.
Dude that came into our shop recently that came into Moto, and when he came into Cleveland Moto, he'd said that he'd had some good experience with some Honda factory paint that he was able to find for $11 an ounce that you cut 3-to-1, he said.
Hmm.
And so he said for $31 or something, you end up with 9 ounces of paint. I'm like, you lost me in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that conversation, I tuned out. I need to be able to buy it in a can or put it in a can or put it in an HVLP and shoot it. You know?
Yeah.
I need to be able to, you know, open can, maybe mix it, and then shoot it quick.
Yeah, if I'm shooting in my garage here, it's in a spray can.
It's going
to
be in a spray can.
When I go over to Mark's house, you know, that's when we deal with the HVLP stuff.
Proper setup. I think that going with a multi-grinder setup, now I just got a new grinder. I've been tempted by those damned little baby grinders at Harbor Freight.
I know,
shaft on the side.
Yeah, it's like a Dremel on a pedestal.
You know what? It feels like it.
Speaking of which, I have your Dremel. You need it back at your shop, and I have to remember to give it to you tonight.
This one right here, isn't it? No.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's it. That looks like my Dremel. Yeah, Mark's been jonesing for that.
Yeah, well, it's been sitting there. Every time we do the podcast, it's sitting there for me to give to you.
Yeah.
And then we do the podcast and drink a bunch of beer, and I forget to give it to you.
So, and I got the better quality Dremel there. Mark said last week, one of the things he said, Phil, when you're out shopping, bring me just a shitty Dremel. Like, get me a Harbor Freight Dremel. So I said, okay, great. And in the back of Cycle World Magazine, they got the coupon for I think it's a $7.99 Dremel.
Yep.
Okay? You can't file your freaking nails with this thing.
Yep. We shouldn't say Dremel. We should say rotary tool.
Rotary tool. Well, this rotary tool can't cut butter. This thing is ridiculous. It stalls out.
Yeah.
And it gets going. It sounds like it's going to make some shit happen. Like, it's... And you're like, oh...
We were laughing at the shop when I was working there the other day. They're like, you have our Dremel, damn you. Phil brought us this.
He told me to bring him a cheap Dremel. I brought him a cheap Dremel. And so there were two... We had a success and we had a failure. One is my Milwaukee this is great, the great statement. My Milwaukee Dremel,
mm-hmm.
my cordless with a lithium battery pack, the whole deal, totally dead. Got to return it. I've used it like four times. Dead as a doornail.
Beans.
Oh, yeah. Rotten. So I got to return it and get another one, find out what's going on with that. Then, that was a fail. However, the Flex Shaft Bench Grinder, which comes in a box that is too small to ever have the words bench grinder printed on the side of it. I get the thing in the box and the whole deal. I'm setting up my shop, and I got a diamond plate workbench I just built. And Mark helped set this thing up, and it's very cool. And I tell my my Uncle John's helping out at the shop from time to time. So I told him, I was like, hey, you know what? If you want to do something for me, weld a couple of nuts to the diamond plate workbench, and let's bolt down that, you know, the little grinder. Hmm? Let's just bolt it down so it doesn't run away on us, because it's 10,000 RPM.
Yeah.
So John comes out and he goes, I don't think we're going to need to bolt this one down.
Awesome. Well,
in as much as the Harbor Freight rotary tool for $7 sucks major ass, I mean, it's a Santorum. It can't be worse.
Mm-hmm.
The little 10,000 RPM with the flexible shaft adapter, which has, you know, like a deburring wheel, and it's got a little redstone grinding wheel on it, and then it's got the removable shaft for the output, that thing kicks ass.
Yeah, well, I've got the Dremel shaft.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was very impressed by how not wobbly and how completely predictable and how good the flex shaft actually works on the Harbor Freight one.
Wow.
And it was like $30 or something, you know, $34. So then we had a Harbor Freight fail and we had a Harbor Freight better than expected. Yeah.
That's the thing with Harbor Freight. It's like half their stuff you buy.
Right.
It's just like, this is the worst piece of garbage in the world.
Yeah.
And then you buy something else expecting it to just be junk.
Okay.
Then you're like, wow, this thing's amazing.
I don't know. And they have drill presses, and I was going to grab just a cheapo 5-speed.
Right there?
Yeah.
I get a Harbor Freight drill press.
And Harbor Freight has this, like, deal with their tools, that when you're looking at certain types of tools, drill presses in particular, grinders is another thing, there's the $59 drill press, which is comical.
Mm-hmm.
There's the $99 drill press, which if you look at it closely, it looks like a good drill press, but then you get a discerning eye put to it, and you realize... Yeah. Nah, that's not going to work. And then there's the $20 or $30 more drill press. That's the break. You mm-hmm. have to be able at Harbor Freight to identify the break. You can find that one that is just $30 more, but is 10 times the machine that the next one down is.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not buying the most expensive one they have. You're usually buying the second to most expensive one they have.
Well, I bought the... I think it was the originally $129 right. one.
Yeah, it's the $129
but one. But it was on sale for like $89.99, mm-hmm. and then I had a 20% off coupon, so I got the thing for a steal.
That's how you do it. They
And I was going in for the cheaper one, like you said, and I saw it, the one below it. Yeah. I was like, no.
Oh, garbage.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not wasting a 20% off coupon on this thing.
Say what you will, call me a fucking hack if you want. I'm going to go for 100% full Harbor Freight sponsorship. Because you know what? So far, they're doing all right. My whole toolbox isn't Harbor Freight, but a lot of the tools I touch every day are.
Yeah. Well, your toolbox technically is Harbor Freight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My tool chest.
You bought it from
Harbor Freight. Yeah, my roll-arounds. Yeah, my roll-arounds are all Harbor Freight. My little technician's boxes. The had a customer come in. We always talk about the weird shit that people roll up in and mm-hmm. roll up on. Well, today, we now have a new winner in the There I Fixed It trailer category.
Oh, boy.
Guy rolls up... And he's got a CB350. And I'm going to say it this way. If you're riding... Bell used to have an advertisement in the 70s that said, $10 head, $10 helmet. It was a great way to make fun of the guys that were selling cheap helmets.
Yeah.
And today I got to see the best example of $700 motorcycle, $200 trailer. Guy rolled in on the Harbor Freight trailer, and I've seen some pretty bad Harbor Freight trailers. Because they'll sell you a trailer down to, I think, $129. that is basically four square pieces of steel, some little 8-inch dinky rims, and, you know, a trailer hitch. That's it. And if they're junk. And
tires you hope will hold air.
And they come in a box that is impossibly small for this box to carry a trailer. And there's 150 bolts you got to put together. And they're all Chinese, you know, these split washers are going to work never.
Yeah.
You know? Loctite the crap out of this thing and pray. So I've always had a real thing about Harbor Freight trailers and telling people, man, seriously, this trailer is sketchy at best. I mean, they're all super flexible, and you're tying the bike down and you're basically folding the trailer into an accordion. It looks like a big taco going down the road with the wheels pointing the wrong way because you're just tie down straps on it. And this guy rolls in today with Harbor Freight's copy of a Kendon stand-up trailer.
Get out.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Holy shit.
And it didn't just fold at the back like a Kendon trailer folds, where they stand up on their, you know, up on their tail, so to speak. That's all cool. Mm-hmm. But it folded at the back so it stands up on its tail, but then it also folded at the top so the whole yoke triangle assembly folded down. This thing looked like a freaking ping pong table. Good pop. That one didn't try to kill you.
I moved my head.
Look away when opening Yingling Porter. But this Harbor Freight trailer. Yeah. This Harbor Freight trailer was one of the sketchiest things I've ever seen. And what it reminded me of is that some people will remember Erector sets. And there was nothing in an Erector set toy box kit that was longer than about an 8-inch piece of steel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was about the biggest you had was an 8-inch piece of heavily perforated, very sketchy sheet metal.
Oh, and when you really got into building stuff out of Erector sets,
it was flexible.
You cherished those big pieces, though.
Yeah, big pieces, though, that got a lot of work done. Well, this is the equivalent of an entire fucking two-bike trailer that's made with a Erector set. I've never seen such a flexible thing in my life to be going down the highway at highway speeds. I mean, we have a Department of Transportation for a reason, right? To keep sketchy shit off the highways. And this is wooden bumper sketchy. I mean, this is fully, yeah, this is the wrong part of Detroit. I made it myself sketchy. And so if you're out there and you were thinking about buying a Harbor Freight trailer,
maybe not.
Maybe not, yeah. A $229 trailer, maybe if you get a $229 bike, yeah.
Well, what's the Kendon run?
They went up in price. They're sickly expensive now. For a two-rail, I've got the three-rail Kendon, and I think it's $2,600.
Yeah, it's a nice trailer, though.
And you know how bad we abuse it.
Oh, we beat the shit out of that
thing. We abuse the crap out of that trailer, and I am totally willing to let anybody borrow it ever. And that thing is tough as nails. And it hauls everything. I mean, we've done three full-size motorcycles on that bike, on that trailer. And that trailer does not seem to care.
We hauled all three of ours down to Tennessee last year.
Yeah, we were going 80-plus miles an hour the whole trip.
Oh, yeah.
We're running 85 with three bikes on a trailer, and it was totally fine. I have no reservations about dragging anything on that Kendon, but this little Harbor Freight thing that the customer brought in today was absolutely terrifying. Yeah. And he undid the tie-down straps, and they weren't ratchet straps. They were just compression straps.
Oh, jeez.
Which is scarier still, because at least a ratchet strap, you know, you're pulling more, whereas with the compression strap, as the trailer flexes, that strap has become loose. I suppose that's sort of how they're going to work anyway, but
yeah.
This trailer had so much flex in it that when he came in my driveway, the bike moved a solid 9 inches left and right just because the trailer had bent.
Good Lord.
Under the power of the straps. Well, get a good trailer. Certainly worth having. Or borrow a good trailer. Go to U-Haul and get the garden trailer.
Yeah.
U-Haul knows how to build a trailer. Yeah. They'll rent you a $26 trailer and you won't bend it in half.
And if you do, you know, just make sure you pay the insurance.
I still think it's the best deal. I mean, realistically, if I didn't use a trailer twice a week, three times a week, if I was a guy who owned a motorcycle and just had to move it two or three times a year, why the hell wouldn't I go and spend $26 a day to get that perfect U-Haul garden trailer? That thing's low to the ground, and it's got a wheel chock built into it.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, it's got a ramp.
I did not know that.
It's got a ramp, and right at the front of it's got a V-nose wheel chock. It is designed to haul motorcycles. And for $26 a day? Yeah. Okay, what's that going to cost you a year? You know, for the four times a year you're going to use it, You're gonna be in a, what, $150 for four uses? Yeah. That's worth it to not have an ugly ass trailer.
And realistically, your motorcycle should only be on a trailer for a very good reason.
Yeah, like you're going somewhere far to have fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you're taking a couple of low displacement bikes down to the Dragon.
I was riding my Royal Enfield Custom the other day, and I've been kind of running it around the neighborhood occasionally when I need a break or breath of fresh air. And a guy saw me ride, and he goes,
"Is that the award-winning?"
The award-winning second place at the motorcycle show, second place at the IX Center.
So you got to say that every time you talk about the bike.
Award-winning,
my award-winning Royal Enfield Custom.
Yeah, that's still under warranty. And the guy, one of my neighbors who has a motorcycle out there, saw me riding it. He goes, "That thing looks great." He goes, "That just looks fantastic." He's like, "Yeah." He goes, "But is it comfortable?" I went, nah. more comfortable than a lot of other motorcycles I've owned and ridden and built. Not nearly as comfortable as you'd want a motorcycle to be.
Oh, you'll have that when you remove a whole bunch of shit and put a little tiny seat on it.
Yeah. Those little tiny short springs. Yeah.
Even though it's double sprung.
Right, it's double sprung.
Still has the rear suspension.
But it still is very stiff. Yeah. Merritt rode her bike to work the other day and just came back nothing but smiles. And
the one I rode the other night?
Yeah, the SVS, yeah.
God, that thing is
so amazing.
She
rode that to work the other day, and she's like, she goes, two things. She goes, Power Commander. She goes, that thing is incredible. She goes, that is so much smoother than it was when we got it. I said, yeah, it is. It flattened out all the bumpy spots in the acceleration, and it's just pure torque the whole way up.
Yeah.
So that was the best investment ever. And then... she said the heated grips. She said on her way to work in the morning, because you know she goes to work at 6. So
yeah.
So she said on her way to work at 6 in the morning, those heated grips were the bee's knees.
Now she works at a high school.
Yeah, she works. Her office is actually
that's
got to
be pretty awesome when your
student services director shows up riding a hot silver sport bike with big loud pipe on it.
Yeah, that's just got to be pretty kick ass.
Yeah, and that pipe is a little bit loud. I mean, it's a few decibels above legal, and you know people know it's coming. I could, you know, when you're riding around here, you can hear it the whole neighborhood. You know. Everybody down the road gets to appreciate.
Well, I was enjoying the sound of the pipe so much that I didn't realize I was doing 80 or 90 miles an hour the whole time.
Right, that's a nice setup.
Like, wow, so that sounds really good. Oops, fast.
But she said, you know, we're going to have to put a top case on it.
Oh, really?
We did it to her other one, to her blue one, too. Her blue SV650S. Okay, part of what makes her so special is the fact that she is work commuting on sport bikes.
That's true.
And if you're going to work commute on sport bikes, you have to do the European thing and Camaro them up, you know?
Yeah.
It's got to have a box on the back, man. And
got to carry your laptop and something.
Oh, man. Well, she has to carry tons of shit. So we are going to have to put some kind of a top case. I just hope that I got to look through the catalog. I'm sure GV's come up with something that's a little more attractive than that blue bubble that we had on the other one.
Yeah. Oh, man, that bike was so hot, though, when you brought it over. It was so
cool. Well, and it's got the smuggler, like the hidden passenger seat.
Yeah.
The little bum stop there. It is beautiful the way it is. And it does seem a shame to cloud it all up with the top case, but yeah. Going to get a top case. Sorry. It's got to work for a living.
Yeah, well, hey, they pop off.
They do pop off. Yeah. Press a button. You can take the damn thing off. But they're... that's cool. So... Now, have you made any progress on Tim's Magna? Have you
done anything? Oh, Tom's Magna?
Tom's Magna?
No, because he has not brought me the battery yet.
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for a battery. All I need is a battery, and then I want to get proof of fire. I can say that the previous owner did a fantastic job of relieving the motorcycle of all of its fluids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the tank is, you could eat off the inside of the tank.
Totally dry, perfectly stored.
Just gorgeous.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's excellent.
So I'm really happy about that.
Yeah.
I'm also, I'm actually more happy about getting it out of my garage.
It does look weird in here, man. It still looks like a...
Yeah, like when my garage door's open and people drive by, I like them to see the... the old shit everywhere. Yeah,
but it's still, because of that Magna riding position, that mid-80s bike, it still looks like something from Wheelie and the Chopper Bunch.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's got the ridiculous, like, the high ape, like, the baby ape handlebars.
Oh, yeah, they're terrible.
And square headlight. And it's, mm-hmm. it's a pretty, I mean, it's a stylistically challenged motorcycle.
Yeah, I'm tired of making excuses for it.
Yeah.
You know, hey, oh, what's that? That's my friend's. It's not mine. I swear.
Well, the other night was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, and I got a phone call from our friend and CEO of Rock Hall, Terry Stewart.
Yeah.
And he gave me a call, and it was super last minute. It was the event, the concert for the Rock Hall was Friday night or Saturday night? Podcast night. It was Friday night.
Yeah, Friday.
And he called me that day, and he said, Phil, Steve Van Zandt wants to have a Vespa to introduce the Small Faces. And I said, well, okay.
Sure.
But then the problem is, you can't ever give people choices. You better just don't give them choices. Because when you give people choices, that's when they're going to do silly things. Like have opinions.
Right. No, I say that at my job all the time. I'm like, wait, you're going to give them a choice?
Right. I'm doing something for you for free.
They're like, oh, well, no, they're the client. We got to, you know, let them have their input. No, you don't.
It's better when they don't.
You tell them what they need.
We'll tell them what they want.
You go, I got the perfect thing for you, and it's this. Yeah. It's amazing.
So I made the mistake of giving them the option of either having a brand new automatic transmission Vespa, like a 150.
Yeah, which I would have said for Small Faces, no.
Well, right. They could ride it up on stage, though. They could physically ride it. Because it's an automatic transmission. If Steve Van Zandt wants to ride it up the ramp on the stage, he can handle that.
I still wouldn't trust him.
Okay. Well, I'm willing to accept a little bit of exposure.
Yeah.
But they were like, well, do you have a mod bike? Something with a bunch of mirrors. And then immediately, Joe Hopper.
We're like, we know a guy.
Yes. We have Elton John's mod bike.
Yeah.
And
as Joe's joke in his comedy act goes, one of his comedian friends told him, if your scooter was a transformer, it would transform into Boy George.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's gay. I mean, Camaro.
Camaro.
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, I made one text to Joe, and I said, Joe, I need your mod bike. I need it. It's for the Rock Hall thing. It's for Rock Hall induction. And Joe's like, yes. It's yours. Come and get it. Because that's how Joe is. Super guy.
Oh, yeah. And that's just more exposure for him.
Oh. So, I guess all of his buddies were there.
Chad and Alan.
Right.
Alan Cox.
Alan Cox. And, yeah.
They were all there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And to our listeners, we'll explain that Joe is a professional comedian. His buddies, Chad and Alan, are local comedy radio DJs.
Yeah.
He's on the show a lot. They like to make fun of his scooter a lot.
Yeah, they do. And so it was great that they were at the event.
Mm-hmm.
And that was cool. And, too many beers. His buddy that's the Boston comedian has that metal show. So it's gonna happen to both of us now.
Not Don Jameson, he's the other guy. Jim Florentine.
I guess Jim Florentine was there.
Yeah, he was.
Okay, so he was there.
Yeah, and so was Eddie Trunk.
Yeah.
Who is the host of that metal show. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
They were all there.
Because I saw the drummer from Guns N' Roses wearing a That Metal Show t-shirt.
Nice.
Which is very cool. And
which drummer?
Their surviving drummer.
Oh, Matt Sorum.
No, not Matt Sorum. Matt Sorum is that's the rehab drummer when
Steve. No. Matt Sorum's the guy from The Cult.
From The Cult, exactly.
That took over for Steven Adler.
He was there too, but Steven Adler was
there. Steven Adler was there?
Oh, yeah, Adler's. He's lucid.
He's
got a bit of a screwed up mouth.
But, he's paralyzed on half. Yeah,
but I will say this. He gave a fantastic speech.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you could it was hard to hear his speech over the sound of the crowd shouting, fuck Axl, fuck Axl. They did a hell of a job. They did a hell of a show. They put on a great show.
That dick didn't show up.
No, he didn't show up. Yeah. They had a new guy, though, that did a hell of a job and just owns it. And he looks like he could be Axl Rose's kind of like cousin.
It's got the same heroin chic emaciated look and the same, like, you know.
Well, that's all you need.
86 pounds soaking wet. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not Axl Rose anymore. He's.
I wouldn't even pretend to know. Yeah. And Slash gave a huge induction speech that was like. And they Matt even came up afterwards and was like, that is the most I've ever heard Slash speak.
He never talks.
He gave a great acceptance speech. Fantastic. So, all said and done. Bikes up on stage. Steve Van Zandt makes some really fun comments about parking and stuff like that and about the scooter. And then they took all the awards, all the induction awards for all the small faces. And that covers a lot of people.
Yeah.
The different versions of that band. You know, Rod Stewart and everybody. I mean, that's a lot of people. And they took all the awards, and all the awards were actually set on Joe's seat.
Oh, nice.
So it's a good picture of Steven Van Zandt with the motor scooter there, the mod bike with all the mirrors, and then like a dozen Rock Hall induction awards all up on the seat.
Nice.
Very cool.
Very nice.
Very neat. Yeah, so a lot of pictures were taken of that. It was neat. I mean,
I'm sure Joe's still talking about it.
I would hope that, you know, we only see the live video feed, and it's just the in-house video.
Yeah.
And it's not directed particularly well. It's not shot particularly well.
Were you not down on the floor?
No, it's the first time ever. I haven't been on the floor. I was up in the more, you know, what do you call that? The altitude-friendly seats?
Yes, the commoner area.
They were $100 tickets. I can't bitch. They were given to me. They were handed to me. But it was a really good show. They did a hell of a job. You know, Chili Peppers got inducted. Beastie Boys got inducted. Yeah. You know, LL Cool J's there. You know,
was he inducted?
No, he was inducting the Beastie Boys.
All right, good.
Yeah,
I was gonna say he doesn't deserve induction.
They gave great speeches. The whole deal.
Heard the Beastie Boys totally shit on Cleveland though.
No, I don't think they shit on Cleveland. They just made a comment about how important New York was to them coming up.
Mm.
And they didn't shit on Cleveland as so much as they said, this is what made New York, New York. Because we could go and we could practice at Ad Yock's parents' apartment.
Yeah, Ad Rock.
And then go down to this bar and see these guys play. And then go to this bar and see these guys play. And go to this bar and see these guys play.
Yeah.
You know? And so that, he said, that was what was amazing about New York. And that was great. I mean, they should get props to New York. They're a New York thing, you know? That's great.
Totally.
I just love the fact that we've got the Rock Hall in Cleveland.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and it's great to bring that talent here.
Get a little battery power.
Yep. So, all said and done, keep on your calendars. We've got Mods versus Rockers coming up in Cleveland on July 7th weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the deal?
Yep.
I just got a little bird told me that there's going to be a Mods versus Rockers happening of some sort. I think first weekend in June in Cincinnati.
In Cincy? Yeah, same time as the Dude of the Ton meet.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Man. You know what? Same thing happened to the scooter rally scene a few years ago.
Yeah.
Every city that had more than two running motorcycles, or back then, any scooter city that had more than two running scooters put on a rally, and it ended up flooding the calendar.
Yeah.
And so due to that competition for days off, all the events kind of got smaller. And the scooter community responded by having less events, but they were better attended. The strong ones will pull through.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll happen around
here,
too.
And then we have Mid-Ohio, July 20th weekend, right?
Yep.
And that's going to be the big one. That's the McGilla Gorilla.
The Mecca.
Yeah, have fun, tear it up, burn it down. They could.
I am preparing my liver for that.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm telling everybody, if you own a scooter in your garage and a motorcycle in your garage, you need to bring both of them.
I'm gonna be like at odds because
both of them.
I like riding my motorcycles, but I know I'm gonna be with you, so I'm gonna be on the scooter side.
No,
of things.
No, that scooter side of things is gonna be motorcycle side of things.
I know,
whole infield, baby.
I'm gonna have my motorcycle with me, I'll be hanging out with the scooter guys because they're frankly fucking more fun. You know,
they do party better.
Yeah, way better.
Yeah, they do party better. I will tell you that. I've been to a lot of motorcycles rallies. I've been to a lot of scooter rallies. The scooter rallies definitely party better than the motorcycle rallies.
I do like the new influx of the motorcycle guys that kind of started with the scooter.
Started with scooters, yeah. Yeah. That's exactly
They ride motorcycles and love the shit out of them,
right.
But still party, but like, still a student, party like a scooter guys. Guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a certain, like, nothing to lose mentality. I think it might have to do with when you are at a scooter rally, you know that it is completely common at 4 o'clock in the morning to go over sideways drunk and get on your scooter and ride it around, you know, the campsite.
Naked.
Whatever, yeah, oh, go crazy. And nobody is going to go like, oh yeah, that guy's a little out of control, we need to shut him down. Because the fear of hurting oneself is so much less on the scooter for some reason.
Yeah.
Than if you're at a motorcycle rally at 4 o'clock in the morning and everybody's sitting around the fire playing Kumbaya.
Everybody's going to be like, oh dude, don't get on your bike. No, dude, don't get on your bike. Hey, but at a scooter rally, you're like, fuck yeah, dude, go.
Yeah, go take that guy's keys.
Yeah.
And at a scooter rally, if you get on a bike at 4 o'clock in the morning and go tear it up for 4 or 5 laps, you're going to have 30 people behind you, and they're not trying to stop you. They're trying to pass you. And that's what I noticed at motorcycle rallies when I've had a few, and I've been like, you know what, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, it's beautiful out. This party got down to a very dull roar. I want to go fire my bike up and take a lap. Everybody's like, no, man, you can't do that. No. People, you're going to wake people up.
Well, it's like the do the ton meet last year when me, you, and Shane are drinking beers before going riding the dragon. Everyone's like, oh, hey, you're drinking before riding. We're like, yeah. And I think I think it was your quote was like, I feel way better about my motorcycle skills after about 2-3 beers.
I think that it takes the edge off a little bit for me.
It does.
And it makes me appreciate the width of the lanes.
Mm-hmm.
I know that...
Makes you a little more cautious?
This podcast will be used against me in the court of law. I'm absolutely certain of it. But I have always been one to enjoy a beer or two and then go take a ride. And I have been doing it since I've been able to do so. And
I agree.
Yeah, and I don't want to split hairs with people, and I'm sure there are people right now that just said, I'm now signing off this podcast and I'm never going to listen to it again because my son and or daughter was taken by a drunk driver. I'm sorry, but people smoke too. Mm-hmm. And cancer's killed millions.
Sure.
So, you know, there is that sort of thing. But... Yeah, at a rally, when you're in a nice, safe, confined area where it's just
where all you're going to do is crash in the grass,
a waiver,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you slide sideways on your scooter or your motorcycle into my parked scooter or motorcycle, you're going to have to sort it out with me. Mm-hmm. That's it. But I'm not going to tell you, no, sorry, don't go out and have a good time. Don't go out and be my source of entertainment for the next 30 minutes.
Exactly.
Because I think it was also the dragon that it was, you know, it was O-Drunk 30 when we busted out the fireworks, too.
Oh, that was like, it was, exactly. When we took the mid-time break from the podcast, like, hey, let's take a smoke break, we'll be right back. Oh, yeah, we never came back.
That was the deal, we went out and played with fireworks. Yeah.
We started lighting off fireworks, the owner of the place came by just to collect money for the two guys that didn't pay for their camping the night before.
And he had no problem with fireworks.
Yeah, you were laying off fireworks the whole time he was standing there. It was amazing.
I just thought it was a good time to be, well, and once again, the motorcycles were put away,
mm-hmm.
and I had moved on to pharmaceuticals.
Yeah,
and it was good.
We did not ride. I mean, we did ride over to the other campsite.
Not after that.
No, before that.
Before that, yeah.
We drank quite a bit there and ate.
Oh, yeah.
And then rode back.
Believe me, man, I know when to say when, and that was that point. Once the fireworks came out,
mm-hmm.
whoo, that party was officially motor vehicle done.
Yeah, motor vehicle done. I know. I took a slight nap in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. I was sitting on the one lounge chair.
Yeah, you took a lounge chair
for a while.
Disappeared for a few seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember Mike Catalano. Yeah, Mike Catalano, he's like, I was his favorite person when I woke up, went over to the cooler, grabbed a beer, cracked it, and just re-engaged in the conversation. He's just like, you just got it from a nap. You just fell asleep on the chair. And then you just grab a beer and get back in.
Just wait away for a little minute.
I'm like, yeah, you know, I need a little shut eye.
Yeah, just needed a little 90 second nap. It was perfect. Yeah, it's good times. I'm really looking forward to this summer because it really was a lot of fun.
Oh, it's going to be amazing this year.
Yeah,
I can already feel
really
it.
Good summer.
I already feel it.
Yeah.
I've already got a couple hundred miles logged on the bike already.
Yeah, I've been embracing the Buell a lot more this year. The Buell's been getting ridden a lot more.
It's a good bike.
It is a good bike, and I'm really enjoying it, loving it. And funny thing is, when I get off of it and I start riding some other bikes, like you start riding, you know, customers' bikes and things like that, you're like, man, this bike is really
really sketchy. This bike is really loose. This bike is really, really... And you're like, yeah, because you're riding that Buell with the factory race suspension on the entire motorcycle.
Yeah.
And you forget. You start to get so lazy. And you start to get so adjusted to that 100% predictable handling.
Yeah.
And Merritt's bike is on the money. I'm very happy with that thing. It handles that and the Buell. Definitely my best handling bikes. And then the other day, I just wanted to have something different in my life. So I fired up the old BMW R50.
Wow.
Yeah, I went out. And you know what? Second kick, that thing was right on.
Excellent.
Second kick, and it was just boom.
Excellent.
Tickled the carbs. Gave it just enough till I saw gas dripping out on the floor. And once I saw a drop of gas drip out of each side.
There you go.
First kick, second kick, perfect. I was so happy to ride that bike. And I took it out, and it just did everything like a, you know.
Like a proper BMW should.
Did everything like a 50-year-old bike should do.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And it did great. And it just did such a nice job and rode great, put a smile on my face. It was exactly like that hour and a half, 2 hour ride that I needed to decompress from work.
Yeah.
And went out and rode around at a nice, sedate, 4-speed pace. It is like driving your grandpa's station wagon.
Yep.
Yeah. It is all about do not dare try to hang your ass out on this bike because it is not going to work.
Will not happen.
Will not perform aggressively. It will correct you. It will not let you do it. So whatever it is you're riding, please get out and ride it this week. Remember to put those Mods vs. Rockers dates on your calendar and come out.
Hit them all, especially Mid-Ohio. Let's make this huge.
Yeah, Mid-Ohio, please. That's the one
that... Let's make this gigantic.
Yeah, that's the one that I think everybody who's listening to this needs to come out to because...
I'm already seeing the forums light up
really?
On this, and there are people like hands down like I'm there.
Yeah,
you know they are all over.
I've been going to a lot of events for a lot of years, and I can tell you that of all of them, this is the one that has the least likelihood of being repeated.
It's true.
And I mean, I don't want to be a jerk, and if you're from Mid-Ohio, I love you guys, and thank you so much for helping out with this.
But we will probably ruin it for everyone.
But I have to say, I honestly fear that this may be the last one. And you'd rather be there at the last one, you know, the very last
one. Rather be that old guy saying, like, I was there the 1 year.
The 1 year.
That they let this happen.
Yeah. Oh, because... You don't want to be there. You don't want to show up next year and hear all the stories about what we did this year.
Right.
You know, that would just suck. That would be
because it'd all be like, can you believe what those fucking idiots did?
Yeah, yeah. It would be a bad one to be.
And then we'll still be over there going like, hey, we are those idiots.
Yeah, we're those. Yeah, I don't think they'll refuse to sell us a ticket in the future, but I think they will refuse to let us have a bonfire in the middle of the infield.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
But yeah, the wood pile though is pretty good though. I got 6 Royal Enfield crates over there.
Excellent.
Already in my shop. They're all seasoning right now.
Nice.
So yeah, we are definitely on the search. If you've got a trailer, bring lumber because
we'll need it.
We want to have anytime it's hours of darkness.
Bring lumber or Chinese scooters.
Lumber, Chinese scooters, mannequins, wasted building materials. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Flammable.
Maybe old mag wheels.
Yeah.
It could be fun.
Could be.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Enjoy another week of motorcycle riding in whatever vicinity you live in. And as always, I hope you got what you paid for.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for listening to Cleveland Moto. If you have comments or topic suggestions, you can leave them at our blog at www.clevelandmoto.blogspot.com or visit our website at www.clevelandmoto.com.